live over the phone. That's Cody Tucker from 7220sports.com. Cody, always a privilege to have you on.
Hey, Duke. Thanks for having me, pal. Appreciate you.
So, Cody, we wanted to bring you on for a couple of reasons this morning. The first being we saw you do a write-up on the new law in Wyoming that legalizes sports betting, online sports betting in the state. And I personally really appreciated you doing that because, as you said in the write-up, no one understands the legal jimbo jumbo in those bills, right? So it was nice to see it kind of spelled out nicely done.
Yeah. I went out to lunch with the legislator that day, and I just said, hey, man, tell me this like I'm 4 years old. I don't want to hear all the other stuff. Just what does it mean? And he said, it means on September 1st, you should be able to download an app and make a bet. And it's, okay, that's layman's terms there. I like that.
Absolutely. You sat down with Landon Brown, of course, who was the co-sponsor of the bill, and something he mentioned was that he felt like it was pretty dumb that it wasn't already passed, right? I mean, people right now, you can go to a different state, Fort Collins, he mentioned in your article, and just go down there and place a bet, but he can't do it in Wyoming. What else did he kind of tell you in that esteem?
Well, it's amazing, Duke. With phones and the GPS signals off your phone, apparently the towers can tell if you're still in the state of Wyoming. You can't make a bet, but the minute you cross the border into Colorado, it works. I'm not a big sports bettor myself, so I didn't know people were going to those lengths to place a bet. But it makes sense. When I was younger, we would drive to 16 miles from the Colorado border, so we would drive to Colorado to buy lottery tickets. So that's just how it goes. But it became one of those things, it's one of those deals where people are doing it anyway. And Wyoming needs revenue sources right now. And what Landon Brown said is the beauty of it is, well, you don't have to gamble. You have the option to now if you want to, but you don't have to. So they're hoping that it could bring, first estimates were up around $450 million a year. He was a little more conservative at $250 million a year. But, Wyoming needs to replace some funds right now, and they feel like this could be an avenue that could get that started.
So, Cody, what can we bet on now if we choose, like you said? Any professional sport? Looks like college is in this. Is it limited to what sports are allowed, what levels are allowed? Is it open to high schools? What? How does that work? Do you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't think high schools, but yeah, in Wyoming, you only have to be 18. You can gamble at 18 on the it's like DraftKings and stuff like that. You can bet on the Wyoming Cowboys. I was wondering if there was going to be any parameters there because, that's always a touchy subject when it's in your home state and it's college kids and all that stuff. But, yep, absolutely you can bet on the Wyoming Cowboys. And something we discussed is the Buffalo Bills are probably going to be bet on quite a bit out of the Cowboys state, we would imagine. So yeah. NFL will be huge, of course. But you know what was funny? During the pandemic in Colorado with no sports really being played, table tennis and Korean baseball, millions and millions of dollars bet on that.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah, people will do what they need to do. It's Cody Tucker of 7220sports.com with us here this morning on First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday. Cody, let's switch gears a little bit, talk about football. And it's kind of exciting because with, the Cowboys able to open up a little bit more as far as some of the social distancing regulations and things like that. But now we know that the spring game will be able to play this spring in May with the public there. Kind of exciting things getting ready. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts of the Cowboys and what things are going to look like for the football team.
Man, I really wish that it was good enough where the reporters could be there every other day. Well, that would be great. They'd be able to watch as much as we could, but we're not quite there yet. But I tell you what, guys, breaking down this team, it's really hard to find a ton of question marks. And it's probably the same with a lot of teams around the country because everybody was granted an extra year of eligibility. So the Cowboys have a really good problem on their hand. They have a ton of depth at almost every position. And, I guess if you have a question going in, it's going to surround the quarterback play because, you know, Sean Chambers has left the last three seasons with a season-ending injury, and Levi Williams got roughed up pretty good last year. So that's going to be a big question mark. But other than that, guys, you know, at schools like Wyoming and smaller mid-majors around the country, it's always important to have depth across the lines, especially on the offensive and defensive fronts, and the Cowboys have that in spades. You know, almost three deep across the board on the offensive line, and more than 145 starts, combined starts under their belts. So, and of course, you guys know about the running back room. A lot of mileage coming back from those guys. And so basically, you know, quarterbacks, wide receivers, can that connection start going with new offensive coordinator Tim Polasek? Will they be able to start throwing the ball with some consistency? That's the goal. That's really the huge question mark heading into the season. Other than that, I don't know if championship or bust is going to, you know, be tattooed across the wall in the locker room, but it might as well be, in my opinion.
Certainly experience, like you said, coming back. I wanted to ask you more about Sean Chambers, and he's made some headlines recently as he's opened up a little more about what he went through emotionally and mentally after the season-ending injury last year in the first series of the season, and thinking at some point he was to a place where he didn't want to come back. And had to work through all that. Walk us through more of that. Have you had any conversations personally with Sean, or what have you read, and where do you think Sean is at right now?
Yeah, so I asked Sean that question the other night. Unfortunately, we're all over Zoom, so it's all the reporters can hear every question. So there's not really anything exclusive for the last year, but you kind of fight for a tie every week. But yeah, talking to Sean about it, you know, I've always wondered that. To see, I was in Reno when he got hurt on the third play, and he started violently punching the turf, and you were like, oh no, you know something's wrong. You're not just punching the turf like that because it's, you know, now fourth down. He was hurt. He was absolutely hurt, and all the work that it took to get back in the first place, and then to go out on a cart, and then they showed him on the sideline on the big screen with tears in his eyes talking on a cell phone to somebody. And, you know, that's three in a row. You know, we talked about this last night. We just know he got hurt three times in a row and was out for the year, and it's a nuisance. We're not there and privy to see the rehab and the pain and the suffering and everything he went through behind the scenes. And it had to have been tough on him, and especially of all the physical pain, the mental pain of it had to be unbelievable. And he admitted, you know, maybe this isn't for me. You know, three crazy breaks in my legs. You know, he's a big, strong, healthy kid who just basically can't catch a break here. And it's been really bizarre to watch that, but it's also been really hard to watch that. And make no mistake, fellas, he is an absolutely unquestioned leader on that team, and the guys look up to him. And you know, Dahl, I know you watched that game, and you could see the air go out of the balloon pretty darn quick the minute he got hurt. So his teammates love him to death, and he came back out and really urged him on and was probably a bigger part of that comeback in Reno than most people know. So, yeah, I mean, who could blame him? You know, three freak injuries in a row like that, you probably would start second-guessing things a little bit. But he's back, and he's happy. Fellas, he smiled ear to ear from the minute the record button hit on his Zoom call the other night. It was unbelievable. There's no other way to describe it but giddy. I'm talking like a four-year-old getting a giant, like waiting for a giant ice cream cone type of giddy. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, I believe
it was great to see, too, by the way.
Well, I believe that for sure. You mentioned the leadership that he could bring. And with the you know, NCAA granting that extra year of eligibility, like you mentioned, some of those seniors coming back, what other leaders do you see on this team, and what can they do bring up this Wyoming Cowboy football program?
Well, Garrett Crawls, you know, the obvious one that comes to mind, because he could have gone on, he could have gone elsewhere. He's getting another senior year, but as you know, last year he dealt with a foot injury and off-season surgery that just wasn't healing, so he only played the last three games. But, you know, I've been poring over tape the last few weeks, and he was just a man among boys at moments, especially when he came back the first game against UNLV. He had a tackle for loss on his very first play, and he was the best player out there. So you got guys like him, and then you got guys like Chad Muma, who also was smiling ear to ear this week on his Zoom interview, and was really happy to be back out there. And, you know, if you think about it, Chad Muma got ejected from the New Mexico game late in the second quarter for a targeting penalty that, you know, let's be real, was not a targeting. But if they would have had a 12-game season and he would have kept on the pace he was on, guys, we're talking he's up there with the Galen Thaxtons and John Sallys and Chris Brzezinskis of the world as far as, you know, threatening the single-season tackle record. That's how good he was. And, oh, by the way, he was only replacing Logan Wilson, one of the best players in Wyoming football history. So, didn't skip a beat. The defense is loaded. As far as good seniors coming back, good solid seniors, you're talking Trey Smith, who is probably a doctor by now. He's been in college for so long. And then you throw in Esaias Gandy there in the at the safety spot. Alonzo Velasquez, of course, Torrington's Logan Harris on the offensive line as well. So got some really good pieces coming back, some really good leaders. And then, you know, Keegan Kreider, of course, is the anchor of that offensive line at the center position. And he just, you know, you might as well put first team behind his name right now because that's just where he set it up for himself to go freshman All-American, first team All-Mountain West. That guy's on a great trajectory. So it's just amazing how much talent they have coming back, guys.
Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. Cody, it's always a pleasure. Appreciate your insight. Thank you.